And that's where we wrap up the Midday News Hour for Friday, March 22nd of 2024. Our next news hour is at 7 p.m. tonight, but you can catch Radio China's early news for updates throughout the day. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm Ge Chang with Dot Tip.
In the comment section. Voice of Nigeria is coming at you this morning via 7255 kHz in the 41 meter band to West Africa and Europe. Looks like it's time for Farm Scope. It's 8 hours Greenwich Mean Time, and Danielle Bemsa is on standby. Do stick with us. It's a beautiful morning in Nigeria's capital city, and thank you, Angela. Welcome to our program. Vaughn Scope is a half-hour program of news, views, comments, and analysis of issues coming to you from Voice of Nigeria. You can listen to this broadcast on Simple Radio, TuneIn Radio, Radio Garden, and the Vaughn mobile app. You can also listen to us on www.gov.ng, and on Facebook, we are at Vaughn Newscast.
Our armed forces are trying, but we will not allow them to undermine the integrity and the value of our armed forces and the leadership of the armed forces. We will continue to encourage and fight for our sovereignty, our individual rights to exist.
Stay tuned for details of that and more stories in the course of the program. On the headlines, Nigeria unveils mining marshals to secure mining sites. Algerian leader announces early presidential election, and Australia to contribute $3 billion for construction of nuclear-powered submarines. Details of these and more will be coming up, including the world news, economic news, sports news, today in history, and much more. Stay tuned. It's Vaughn Scope, and I am Danielle Bemsa. We'll start with the world news. Nigerians have been reassured that the nation will overcome current economic and insecurity challenges confronting the country. President Bola Tinubu stated this during the Iftar, which is a breaking of fast program, held at the State House in Abuja with leaders of the Nigerian Senate and other key members of the Bola Tinubu's administration. The Nigerian leader also affirmed that the nation's revenue is significantly improving, adding that this is already reflecting across the subnationals. He expressed the need to manage the nation better and called on the lawmakers to support the government in tackling the challenges of insecurity. President Tinubu also called on senators to exercise restraint in their oversight functions, thereby working together with the executives to achieve a better Nigeria. The Nigerian government has unveiled a security outfit in the mining sector known as mining marshals to safeguard the mining sites across the country. The Minister of Solid Minerals Development, Oladele Alake, made this known during the unveiling at the Ministry of Solid Minerals Development in Abuja, the nation's capital.
Insecurity has bedeviled the minerals sector. So, amongst others, the issue of combating insecurity in this sector became a sine qua non for the success of this mineral sector.
Dr. Oladele Alake said the aim of the mining marshals is to provide a conducive environment for mining operations and to fish out illegal mining operators in the country. Still on security, the Nigerian Chief of Defence Staff, General Christopher Musa, has assured Nigerians that the armed forces are committed in securing the nation. The Defence Chief gave the assurance when he paid a courtesy call to the Minister of Interior, Mr. Olabumi Tunjioju, at the Interior Ministry headquarters, Abuja. General Christopher suggested that the National Population Commission should work together with the Ministry of Interior to ascertain true numbers of Nigerians for close monitoring. The Minister of Interior called for a lasting solution to Nigeria's porous borders and for a need for collaboration between the Nigerian Immigration Service, the Border Community Development Agency, and the Armed Forces of Nigeria. We now go over to the foreign scene. Algeria's president, Abdelmadjid Tebboune, has brought forward the presidential election date by 3 months. The presidency announced that Mr. Tebboune has scheduled the poll for 7 September. The election was previously expected to be held in December. The presidency did not provide an explanation for holding the election earlier. The 78-year-old leader, whose term is due to expire in December, is yet to announce whether he'll be running in the election. And finally on the news, Australia is set to provide $4.6 billion to British industry to help support the construction of nuclear-powered submarines under the AUKUS deal with the United Kingdom and the United States and ensure its new vessels arrive on time. Senior officials from the UK and Australia, as well as the US ambassador to Australia, visited the naval shipyard where the submarines will be built in the South Australian city of Adelaide. UK's Defence Minister Grant Sharp said the Defence Pact is to meet security challenges such as China's increased activity in the South China Sea and the Pacific. Meanwhile, China says the AUKUS deal risks setting off arms race in the Asian Pacific. AUKUS is a trilateral security partnership between Australia, the United Kingdom and the United States. And that was the world news. If you're just tuning in, the program is Vance Cope on Voice of Nigeria. Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu says those responsible for the killing of soldiers in Delta State will face justice. The president stated this when he hosted the leadership of the Nigerian Senate to a dinner to break the Ramadan fast at the State House, Abuja, the nation's capital. He also cautioned that his government will not condone assaults on military and security infrastructure. Voice of Nigeria State House correspondent Timi Tokwe Mustafa reports that the president said the military will continue to enjoy the support of his administration in neutralizing security threats across the country.
The fourth dinner breaking of Ramadan fast iftar program hosted by President Bola Ahmed Tinubu presented another opportunity for the Nigerian leader to interact with the leadership and members of the 10th Senate. The president spoke to the twin challenges of economy and insecurity, assuring the lawmakers of his administration's resolute to lead the country back to the days of grandeur.
Our armed forces are trying, but we will not allow them to undermine the integrity and the value of our armed forces and the leadership of the armed forces. We will continue to encourage and fight for our sovereignty, our individual rights to exist, banish poverty in our society.
The Nigerian leader also thanked members of the National Assembly for the speedy attention given to the Student Loan Amendment Bill, urging more tolerance, forgiveness and charity during Ramadan.
I must say thank you very much for passing the scholarship fund, student loan, to all of you. Thank you very, very much.
In his remarks, the president of the Senate, Godswill Akpabio, noted that regular interactions would enhance understanding and productive governance. He thanked the president for hosting the 10th Senate to the iftar program.
The leadership of the National Assembly, we agreed that we should pray for Nigeria and pray for Mr. President, so that all will continue to be his guide.
Recall that President Tinubu began his special dinner breaking of Ramadan fast with members of the Nigeria's Governors Forum. For Voice of Nigeria, Timi Tokwe Mustafa reporting.
Meanwhile, the quest for the establishment of state police in Nigeria has so far received the endorsement of 16 states. The country's Minister of Budget and Economic Planning, Atiku Bagudu, revealed this while briefing State House correspondents at the end of the meeting of the National Economic Council, presided over by Nigeria's Vice President, Kashim Shettima. Bagudu said the Vice President directed the remaining states that are yet to make their stand on the matter known to do so without delay to enable the Council to deliberate further at its next meeting.
Council received a report by the Secretary, the National Economic Council, recently the Permanent Secretary of the Federal Ministry of Budget and Economic Planning, who made the presentation on submission by the states on the State Policing Initiative. The Secretariat of the National Economic Council was mandated to collate the submission by states, a memoranda by states, as regards to their views about the establishment of state police, which was deliberated upon at the last meeting of NEC. And so far, According to the Secretary of the National Economic Council, only 16 states have submitted memorandum. 20 states and the FCT are yet to send a report, but those states that did indicated support for the establishment of state police, and they recommended that necessary changes in the constitution and the current policing structure be considered to enable the operationalization of the initiative. There are issues about funding, but in all, the council noted the presentation by the Secretary and His Excellency, the Chairman of Council, observed that the rate of submission from the state were not impressive. He urged the states yet to make submission to expedite action to enable robust deliberation on the matter at the next meeting.
Atiku Bagudu there, Nigeria's Minister of Budget and Economic Planning. Now to economic matters. I beg your pardon. A bill for the amendment of the Universal Basic Education Commission, UBEC Act, to increase its funding from the consolidated revenue from 2% to 4% has passed a second reading in Nigeria's House of Representatives. The Chairman House Committee on Basic Education and Services, Honorable Bako Useni, stated this during the committee oversight function at the Digital Resource Center built by UBEC in Abuja, Nigeria's capital city. Correspondent Achemajak has more.
The center was built for training of teachers on digital education in Nigeria. Honorable Bako said the 10th assembly saw the need to increase financial resources to the basic education sub-sector for set objectives to be further met. Hence, the amendment bill sponsored by Honorable Mukhtar Shagaya to increase revenue accruing to UBEC from 2% to 4%. He said the amendment bill, which has passed the second reading, when concluded will make UBEC stronger.
UBEC came into being, so much has been achieved. The House believes that if UBEC is encouraged by funding, it will go a long way in achieving more than what it has achieved.
He said the committee is happy with the Digital Resource Center built by UBEC, as it has always been the desire of the committee to ensure that newer dimensions are introduced into the basic education sector in Nigeria, especially teachers' training and content. According to him, the committee will ensure increased budget allocation and continuous oversight function for the sustainability of the center for the benefit of Nigerians. The executive secretary of UBEC, Dr. Hamid Buboy, said the center is an effort to move digital education in Nigeria to the next level, stressing that it was glad to have taken the House committee members on a tour of the facilities of the center, which includes the Digital Museum, Library, Artificial Intelligence Center, the Studio, Micro Labs, Lecture Halls, Accommodation, among others. He said the facility is an experiment that have started with the belief that it will be a game changer in the nation's basic education subsector, as it will ensure that teachers are trained on the new pedagogy.
We have brought so many teachers, even so far, school administrators, credit assurance officers, to understand first and foremost what is digital learning. And at the same time, to prepare them to be real participants, not just copycat in the classroom.
He said the Digital Resource Center will coordinate the smart schools spread across the country to aid digital learning in the nation, adding that it will also be used to reshape those in the senior stroke management cadre of the basic education subsector. The national coordinator of the Digital Resource Center, Professor Bashir Galadanchi, said the center is part of the effort of the commission to transform the agency into a digital era. In Abuja, Achame Jack reporting for Voice of Nigeria.
And now on the economy, the Nigerian government says the process for the establishment of special agricultural processing zones has been completed and already disbursements have commenced. Nigeria's Minister of Finance, Mr. Wale, don't disclose this while briefing State House correspondents on the end of this month's meeting of the National Economic Council, chaired by Nigeria's Vice President, Kashim Shettima. He said when fully established, the zones will help boost the processing of agricultural products in the country.
There was a report on the all-important special agro-industrial processing zones, SAPZs as we call them. This is the key to agricultural rejuvenation and making sure that we get the most out of the agricultural value chain. The process for establishing SAPZs has been completed. Disbursement has started. 27 states have expressed interest, and of course, some of them have already started implementing their special agricultural processing zones. in terms of what should be done by the various ministries, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Agriculture. His Excellency the Vice President was happy with the progress that is being made, but given the importance, the critical importance of this project for food security, for job creation, and for helping youths and women in particular, he emphasized that all hands should be on deck and no effort should be spared to ensure that we successfully implement the special agricultural processing zones in all the states that express interest in so doing.
And that was Nigeria's Minister of Finance, Mr. Wale Edun. Still on the economy, 40% of wheat demand in Nigeria can be produced and provided by farmers in Jigawa State in northwest Nigeria. The governor of Jigawa State, Umar Namadi, revealed this when he played host to Nigeria's Minister of Information and National Orientation, Alhaji Muhammad Idris, and his entourage in Dutse, the capital of Jigawa State. Voice of Nigeria's correspondent, Salihu Ali, has more.
Receiving the Minister of Information and National Orientation at the government house in Dutse, Governor Umar Namadi informed the minister that already more than 55,000 hectares of wheat have been cultivated by farmers in Jigawa State, which will significantly boost food security in the country. Governor Namadi said if the support given to the wheat farmers in Jigawa State is sustained and expanded, Nigeria will achieve food security. He added that the Jigawa State government is committed to expand and also explore in rice farming with an estimated cultivation of 100,000 hectares.
We are ready and we are committed to support all his agenda, especially the food security issue, which is a major issue. And I also want to use this opportunity to tell the Honorable Minister the wheat harvest has started, the uptakers are also there. But we want to make sure that as a government we intervene to ensure that our people have got value for what they have done.
The Minister of Information and National Orientation, Alhaji Muhammad Idris, described Jigawa State as a leading light to agriculture in Nigeria. He said he was in the state to see the dry season wheat farming programs as well as interact with farmers to explore more opportunities.
Earlier this week, the State Executive Council approved the sum of over ₦1 billion to provide food subsidies to civil servants across the state. This, indeed, is a very timely and commendable intervention to bring relief to the people of Jigawa State and to support the federal government's efforts in that direction.
The Minister of Information was also at the Palace of Emir of Dutse and informed the Royal Father of the government's plans to improve lives. The Emir of Dutse, Hamim Nuhum Mohammed Sanusi, decried the limit of patriotism in the hearts of Nigerians, describing it as a factor affecting the country. He urged the Ministry of Information to work on patriotism of Nigerians. The Royal Father also decried the inconsistencies in government slogans as a factor affecting development. He called on the minister through the Director General, Nigeria Television Authority, NTA, to look into the challenges affecting smooth operations of the three NTA stations located in Jigawa State, as some of the transmitters were obsolete. He said Jigawa State has a lot to offer in food security policies of Nigeria and development as a whole. From Dutse, Salihu Ali, Voice of Nigeria.
Thank you, Salihu. You're listening to Vance Cooper, half our news magazine from Voice of Nigeria. For more news on the economy, let's join Jennifer Ina.
The Central Bank of Nigeria, CBN, says all valid foreign exchange backlogs have now been settled. The bank, in a statement by its acting director, Corporate Communications, Mrs. Hakama Sidi, said the step was in fulfillment of a key pledge of the CBN governor, Yemi Cardoso, to process an inherited backlog of $7 billion in claims. She stated that the CBN recently concluded the payment of $1.5 billion to settle obligations to bank customers, effectively effectively settling the residual balance of the FX backlog. Mrs. Sidi also revealed that independent auditors from Deloitte Consulting assessed the transactions, ensuring that only legitimate claims were honored. Meanwhile, Cardoso said the Apex Bank made clearing the FX backlog a priority to restore credibility and confidence in the Nigerian economy. And still on economic news, the Nigerian government, in collaboration with the Industrial Training Fund, ITF, has come up with an initiative tagged Skill Up Artisans to upskill, license, and empower 5 million Nigerian artisans in a year. The Director General Industrial Training Fund, Dr. Afiz Oluwatoyin, disclosed this at a workshop titled Design and Development of Curriculum for the Upskill Artisans, SUPA, held in Jos, Plateau State Capital, North Central Nigeria. Dr. Oluwatoyin, who was represented by the Director of Administration and Human Resources, Mr. Olasupo Abimbola, pointed out that the initiative under SUPA will be carried out by collecting data on Nigerian artisans through massive training, certification, and licensing for better job opportunities for both local and international artisans.
So one of the main objectives of SUPA is to do a kind of value orientation, work ethics, to ensure that Nigerian artisans are under one umbrella to aggregate all artisanal parties in Nigeria. Two, to regulate artisanal parties in Nigeria. Three, to upskill the artisan such that they can compete locally and internationally.
Mr. Olasupo Abimbola is the Director of Administration and Human Resources Industrial Training Fund. And finally, on economic news, the African Export-Import Bank, Afreximbank, has unveiled its fund for export development in Africa. In a statement issued by the Manager, Communications and Events, Afreximbank in Abuja, Vincent Musumba, the office is located in Kigali, Rwanda. The statement said, Fund for Export Development in Africa was established to tackle Africa's $110 billion financing gap for intra-Africa trade, value-added exports development, and industrialization value chains. It said Rwanda was the first among 115 African nations to ratify its establishment agreement. And that's how we round off economic news. I am Jennifer Ina.
Thank you, Jennifer. Nigerian team missed out on the women football gold medal at the African Games after losing 2-1 to Ghanaian counterparts in the final of the tournament. In the third place match, Uganda's women's national team clinched bronze in the third place playoff game against Senegal on Thursday at Cape Coast Stadium. The game ended goalless in normal time, but the Queen Cranes eventually won it 6-5 on penalties. Well, congratulations to the winners of the gold, the silver, and the bronze. For more on sports news, let's join Nake Origin.
Coach Finidi George has said the principal objective of Nigeria is to earn a good result in the friendly games against Ghana and Mali's senior national teams scheduled for the city of Marrakech in Morocco. Nigeria clashes on Friday with rivals Ghana, and Finidi George says the Super Eagles are presently in a good place in African football, having finished runners-up at the African Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast, and the status must be maintained and exceeded. He stressed that the matches between the two countries are serious duels and are always seen as battles by the countrymen. He said the Black Stars would want to redeem their performance at the recent Africa Cup of Nations. The Nigerian coach equally said Nigeria will be missing 4 players who have pulled out of the game due to injury, but has confidence in the team that will be wearing the green, white, green with pride and patriotism. Ghana will be led by former international Otto Addo, who has been recalled for a second stint in charge of the Black Stars. Finidi George won 62 caps for Nigeria, including featuring at the 1994 and 1998 FIFA World Cup finals. Nigeria, Morocco, South Africa, and Zambia are the 4 nations contesting the 2 available spots for the continent in the women's football event at the Paris Olympics. The winner between Morocco and Zambia will be pitted against 4-time Olympic winner United States of America, Germany, and Australia in Group B. The winner of the double-leg tie between Nigeria and South Africa will be drawn in Group C to face reigning world champions Spain, Brazil, and Japan. The women's leg leg of the competition consists of 12 nations, with the best third finishers from the three groups of four also advancing to the quarterfinals of the competition. The women's football tournament of the Olympics will kick off on 25th July with a clash between Canada and Colombia. And finally, Nigeria's Olympian Odunayo Adekunle is now ranked number one globally in the 57th category of wrestling with 59,000 points in the world. This is according to the United World Wrestling's latest rankings. Odunayo's performance in wrestling at the ongoing African Games in Ghana has helped propel her to the position. She defeated Zinab Hossein of Morocco by a pitfall to win gold in the 57 category at the 13th African Games. Behind the Nigerian in second position is Anastasia Nikita of Moldova with 47,200 points, while Sugumi Sakurai of Japan is third with 45,000 points. Nigeria is currently in second position on the medals tables at the African Games behind Egypt in the first position, while South Africa sits in third position. And with that, we wrap up sports news. Thanks for listening. I am Nake Origin.
Thank you, Nake. Let's now take you on a journey back in time on Today in History.
Hello and welcome to Today in History for 22nd March. On this day in 1961, Ghanaian President Kwame Nkrumah called on world leaders to impose total economic and political sanctions on South Africa. Also on this day in 1980, Nigeria won the Unity Cup after defeating Algeria 3-0 in Lagos. Still on this day in 2018, former U.S. President Donald Trump imposed $60 billion worth of tariffs on Chinese imports. Finally, on this day in 2019, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta's social media accounts were suspended after the government claimed they were hacked. Those were snippets of events that happened on this day in history. I am Margaret Ibishi.
And Margaret Ibishi is still here to bring us the weather forecast.
This is the weather forecast across Africa, Friday, 22nd March, 2024. Nigeria Meteorological Agency, NIMET, predicts slight dust haze with improved visibility to the north, while the central cities should bear more dust cover, as moderate dust haze with a visibility range of 2 to 5 kilometers will be the prevailing conditions. The southern cities should expect cloudy conditions with chances of morning thunderstorms to Lagos and Ogun State. Later in the day, better chances of thunderstorms are expected to the coastal cities. General temperatures will range from 33 to 40 degrees Celsius across the country. Across Africa, Accra, Ghana in West Africa will have thundery showers with a temperature of about 35 degrees Celsius. Moroni, Comoros in East Africa will also have thundery showers with a temperature of about 31 degrees Celsius. Rabat, Morocco in North Africa will have cloudy skies with a temperature of about 21 degrees Celsius, while Brazzaville, Congo in Central Africa will have thundery showers with a temperature of about 31 degrees Celsius. And in Southern Africa, Maseru, Lesotho will be sunny with a temperature of about 26 degrees Celsius. That's today's weather forecast across selected cities in Africa. Remember the effects of climate change and do your part to promote green energy. I am Margaret Ibishi.
The African proverb says, when you pray, move your feet. And this means do not stay idle because you have prayed. Take action. Before we end this edition of On Scope, a recap of the major stories. The Nigerian government has unveiled a security outfit in the mining sector known as mining marshals to safeguard the mining sites across the country. And Algeria's President Abdelmadjid Tebboune has brought forward the presidential election date by 3 months. And Australia is set to provide $4.6 billion Australian dollars to British industry to help support the construction of nuclear-powered submarines under the AUKUS deal with the United Kingdom and the United States and ensure its new vessels arrive on time. Do remember to listen to Voice of Nigeria on Simple Radio, TuneIn Radio, Radio Garden and the VOM mobile app. You can also listen to Voice of Nigeria on www.von.gov.ng. To send your comments, observations, write to englishvon@yahoo.com or vonigeria880@gmail.com. The program VON Scoop was produced by Tinimu Hassan. I am Danielle Bemsa. Stay tuned for more programs coming your way on the English service. Goodbye.
A rhythm of love from Nigeria, the country that defines the future of Africa. Voice of Nigeria, your authoritative choice.
Fire trucks raced to the scene of a fire incident where a tanker just exploded while discharging petrol into underground tanks, and there is chaos and confusion as people and passers-by scamper for safety while others stand and watch from a safe distance. Nigeria's oil and gas sector is the mainstay of the Nigerian economy. This is due to the fact that it accounts for a larger portion of the revenues generated for the economy. However, the activities in the oil and gas sector cannot be done carelessly, as the issue of safety of all personnel working in the industry must be taken into account and minimum standards for safety enforced. Hello and welcome to another edition of Lifeline, a quarter hour program that looks at various measures put in place by government, private sector, operators and individuals to improve Nigeria's energy and power sectors. In this edition, focus is on efforts geared towards preventing fire incidences at petrol filling stations. In the course of doing this, we'll look at what government and stakeholders are doing to improve safety. The program is reaching you from Voice of Nigeria. I am Jude Kankara. Stay tuned for details. Now, everyone leaves his or her house with the intent of returning home safely. Staying safe and alive in any endeavor of life is crucial to the growth and development of that individual and society. However, work-related accidents and even domestic ones are usually as a result of ignorance, unpreparedness or carelessness on the part of those engaged in activities which are deemed as hazardous. The oil and gas sector is known to have almost all its products associated with volatility and as such need to be handled with care. The way and manner that gas retail outlets are set up, for example, and are operated becomes a source for concern and is worrisome, as some of them fall below the safety standards set up for them to operate. The same applies for filling stations and other such plants set up within the station, tends to lead to many unfortunate incidents in which people are harmed or killed. Nigeria's Minister for Interior, Olubunmi Tunjiojo, charges men of the Nigerian Fire Service on how they should conduct themselves.
Your responsibility is not just about firefighting. Your responsibility is about rescue management. You are supposed to be, and you must be, because you have to be, the first responder on emergency situations. So your responsibility goes beyond fire. One, extinguishing fire is a responsibility. Protecting lives and properties is a responsibility. Rescuing and protecting people in the event of emergencies, including accidents, road traffic collision, etc., is a responsibility. And of course, protecting people in the event of other emergencies, such as natural disaster and other issues, this remains part of your responsibility.
Whenever there is a gas explosion or fire incident at any filling station, there's usually confusion and chaos all over the place. There are sins that occur in Nigeria due to the activities of some of these illegal petrol and gas retail outlet operators, tanker owners and drivers. Whenever safety guidelines are not adhered to, it tends to bring about these unfortunate incidences. Preventing such incidences are key to ensuring the safety of all and sundry. Jumade Adejola is a fire safety engineer and he shares with us what can be done to prevent such ugly incidences.
When it comes to the fire prevention, it's everybody's responsibility. Carelessness is not an excuse when it comes to the issue of fire, because everybody knows that immediately there's fire outbreak, there'll be damage. Therefore, if you need to keep what you value or what you have worked for over years, then you need to understand that carelessness should not be the order of the day. Now, having said that, when we look at what do we need to do as fire, to prevent this fire, one thing we should understand is that what is even the fire that we're talking about? What causes the fire? There are three agents that are present before you can have what they call fire. The first one is the fuel. Fuel can be in form of solid. And when we say solid fuel, something like paper, wood, whatever that is hard that can cause fire, like even sawdust, all these are solid fuel. Then we have oxygen. Oxygen, let me say, in the atmosphere, the composition of oxygen is about 21% of the total air in the atmosphere, which means oxygen is everywhere. As we are seated, we are breathing in oxygen. We breathe out carbon dioxide. Then the last one is the heat. When these three elements come together, then they are bound to be fire. Now, how do we now prevent it? You have known these three elements. Removal of one of these agents will put out fire automatically.
Some efforts geared at maintaining safety standards cannot be effective without the cooperation of the various stakeholders in the oil and gas sector. This is so because they're the ones that operate these filling stations, gas plants, fuel depots, and engage in the transportation of petroleum products. The way and manner in which these stakeholders operate components of the oil and gas sector must be in accordance to the guidelines on safety is what determines the viability and purposefulness of maintaining safety. Festus Azubuike is a stakeholder in the industry who works at a petrol filling station in Abuja, Nigeria's capital city.
Fire safety. Yeah, of course I have. Not just myself alone, myself and other persons that work here. We have some persons from fire service that actually came around to take us on the training. We actually have, aside from the workers here, we have some persons whose job are specifically for any fire disaster, fire occurrence and all that. We have them on standby at any point, at every point in time. They are ever ready and they know what to do at all times. And aside from that, we also have fire extinguisher at every strategic position here. And you can look at, there is one there, down there, there is another one. So I believe with this, we are more than ready. And with the little knowledge we were able to get from the training, we've been trying our best to ensure that nothing of that nature happens.
The incidences involving either gas or petrol retail outlets and petrol tankers are all very serious, as the injuries and loss of lives and properties are injurious to individuals and to the economy. Certain measures must be taken to mitigate these problems. Jumade Adejola speaks to us again.
To not prevent this fire, first thing you must know is this. Basically, what we normally have to cause fire, like we'll say carelessness, do we store liquid fuel in our store or in our houses? Do we store liquid fuel at the trunk of our cars? Do we store liquid fuel in a store improperly kept? Now, if you take this one out, definitely, like I said, you have taken fuel out. For you to have fire, it will be very difficult. You know, even the gas cylinder we are talking about, there are some gas cylinders that are not even what you should use anyway. Some have expired, so you need to buy your gas cylinder from the reliable dealers. Then you don't need to put your gas cylinder inside the kitchen. The gas cylinder has to be outside. This is that when there is any fire in the kitchen, the gas, if it's exploded or anything, the gas will just go into the air. But if your gas cylinder is inside, it's confined already, the disaster will be too much. It can even cause explosion.
In order to ensure that cases of gas and petrol explosions do not occur rampantly, some certain features must be adhered to and considered to ensure the safety of lives and property. Dayo Adesina, a former president of Nigeria Liquefied Natural Gas Association, shares with us.
Setting up a gas plant, the first thing is an EIA, which is an environmental impact assessment, which would determine whether the gas plant can be sited in that area or not. It should be in an industrial area, not a residential area. And typically for gas plants, you're not allowed to go into the gas plant itself when they're filling. The customer actually needs to stay away from the plant itself. When you're discharging, and it depends on how you discharge as well, there are certain safety features that need to take place. Switch off the engine, your connections, your hoses, all those things. Ideally, there should be a safety officer in any gas plant. Gas plants, I mean, like we've always told them, need to adhere strictly to safety, because that's the first thing for any operator in the industry. A lot of the problems we're facing is getting professionals, proper professionals, certified people to do those installations, rather than a lot of the roadside people that have no knowledge. For example, for the type of regulators that you use on the hoses have a lifespan, but a lot of the times when these hoses are installed, they're there until when there's a problem. But a typical hose would have a lifespan of maybe 2-3 years, and then you inspect, so does the regulator as well.
The Nigerian government, apart from generating revenues for the nation, is also very concerned about the safety of both participants in the oil and gas sector and the general public. This concern is very evident in all that they've been trying to do to ensure that safety standards are maintained across the entire country when it comes to oil and gas matters. This will in effect ensure that the lives and properties of all Nigerians are protected. And on that note, we'll draw the curtains on this edition of Lifeline, where we took a look at efforts geared towards preventing fire incidences at petrol filling stations. You can share your thoughts with us by writing to the producer, Lifeline Broadcasting House, PMB 40003, Follow More Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria, or PMB 5089, Wuse Post Office, Abuja, Nigeria. You can also send an email to vonenglishproducers@gmail.com. Visit the website www.von.gov.ng to connect with us on Facebook. Our page is Von Newscast. You can also join in the conversation on X, formerly known as Twitter. The handle is at Voice of Nigeria. You can listen to Voice of Nigeria via the Von News app, Simple Radio, Radio Guardian, and TuneIn, all available on your preferred app store. Production was by Victor Yaku. Sunday Additional handled the audio console, and I am Jude Kankara. Goodbye.
Nigerians, say no to violence. Let's rise and defeat violence, crime, and sabotage against the peace of our nation. Nigeria is the only country we have. We must do everything to keep it united. We must avoid any act that promotes hate and disintegration. For safety at home, still be security conscious. Educate your household on safety tips. Report all suspicious movements and persons to the security agencies nearest to you. Be a good citizen. Be patriotic. This message is from the Department of State Services, DSS.
No country makes progress when terror reigns. Our armed forces
are doing their part,
fighting to end terrorism
and keep us safe.
They are trying to win the war, but you and I,
to do our parts to make their job easier.
When anyone tells you to join in promoting terror, tell them no, it does no one any good. It is terrorism.
Don't confuse it.
Don't let anyone deceive you.
The sooner we end terrorism, the sooner the men, women, and children affected can get back to their lives, and the sooner we can get on with building a new Nigeria. We can do this with your help.
Hey, be vigilant.
If you suspect something, say something. Nigerians unite against terrorism.
For trending topics, matters of human interest and programming on contemporary issues, log on to www.von.gov.ng. Voice of Nigeria, the authoritative choice. My name is Dr. Fatima Waziri Azi. I'm the Director General of the National Agency for the Prohibition of Trafficking in Persons.
Welcome to episode 55 of Can True Love Withstand the Test? In the last episode, Paul had a heart-to-heart talk with Lara and she advised him to just go to Sandra instead of trying to call her.
Here is fine, thank you. You can keep the change.
Thank you.
Sandra.
What are you doing here? You scared me. I really don't want to...
I've been waiting outside for the past 4 hours.
Why?
To beg for your forgiveness. I know what I did is unforgivable.
Then why are you asking for forgiveness?
Because it's the only thing I can do. Sandra, please. We all make mistakes. Forgive me, please. You can't tell me you've never made a mistake.
I've never betrayed you, Paul, by sleeping around.
I know. I acted in anger. I wanted to get back at you. I'm not like that. I swear. You know me. I'm better than that.
I thought I did.
I've been miserable without you, Sandra. I promise I'll never let you down again.
What if I promise you that I'm ready to get married now? Well, at least for us to start making plans for it.
Do you really mean it? Can we have sex now?
What?
just kidding. But let's set the date already.
Imagine a world where people recognize the consequences of their choices and learn from their mistakes. It's possible, and it begins with you. For more information, visit www.itbeginswithyou.org.
He who sees the unity in life sees his own self in all creation, and all beings in his own self, and looks on everything with an unbiased eye. We are one, but we imagine that we are not, and what we live to eventually discover is our original unity. The unity and peaceful coexistence of ethnic groups is no doubt an ingredient for national development. With that in mind, I welcome you to another edition of Bonds of Harmony, reaching you from Voice of Nigeria. In this edition, we will find out how the Yorubas from the southwestern part of the country coexist peacefully with the Igbo people in Delta State, southern Nigeria. I am Okatahi Ojia. Do stay tuned. The Yorubas are the major ethnic group in most of the western states in Nigeria. They constitute a sizable proportion of the population in the country. They are said to be the second largest ethnic group in Nigeria and are also known to be very active in farming and have also developed a variety of different artistic occupations, including pottery, weaving, beadwork, metalwork and mask making. However, with the advent of Western education, they've embraced different occupations that have made them migrate from their original geographical location to other states in the country. Ayomide Bamidele, a Yoruba indigene, tells us a bit about his people.
We are descendant of a warrior called Oduduwa. Oduduwa came from the Almighty, which is Eledumare. When he came, Oduduwa landed in Ileife. That is where the credo of the Yoruba nation emanated from. Every Yoruba man has his roots from Ileife. As time goes on, the Oduduwa gave birth to children. Among the children are the Oba of Benin, the Alafia of Oyo, Shomu, the Timi of Edes, and also of his grandchildren is the present day of Akure.
The Yorubas are known to be very cordial and generous towards their visitors. They are receptive and open-minded. This loving and hospitable nature of the Yorubas have helped them live harmoniously with other people wherever they find themselves. Adamu Bakari speaks about the endearing nature of the Yoruba people.
They are friendly.
and they love respect. Even if you're a stranger and you have no place to stay, or your bad person can bring that person in, even serve him or her food and give him his own bread to sleep. They are friendly and they accept people easily.
Festivals help build social cohesion by reinforcing ties within a community. The Yorubas are a very expressive people as they celebrate events and festivals in a colorful way. These events include, but are not limited, to naming ceremonies, funerals, weddings, and even New Yam festivals, as well as numerous other carnivals. Ayomide Bamidele again speaks on some celebrations and festivals of his people.
They celebrate everything that is possible. They celebrate childbirth, weddings, engagement, introduction. Some celebrate burial. And there's Eyo. Eyo is a masquerade that puts on a big cabbie's hat, very big hat, white, put on white clothes that covers his body and he holds a stick. And wherever Eyo is around, as a man, you don't need to, you remove your cap, you don't wear cap. And there's another one, they call that Oru. Oru is a masquerade and it's a festival. And when Oru comes out, it's always in the night, that's in the midnight. A woman is not supposed to see the masquerade.
Despite modernization, the Yorubas still cleave to most of their cultural and traditional practices. This could be seen in their dressing, as it has always given them a unique cultural identity. Traditional dressing features block prints with geometric designs, while women wear a headgear made of a rectangular piece of fabric and another fabric around the waist. It is also worn with a shawl on the shoulder with a loose-fitting blouse, commonly referred to as Iro and Boba, while the men wear agbada and shokoto with a cap known as fila. The Yoruba people have a very rich cultural background. Their food, fashion and festivals give them a unique cultural identity. McLawrence Adebisi speaks on the traditional mode of dressing of the Yoruba people.
An average Yoruba man will wear choro, boba and agbada, which always make with a hand-weaving cloth. We call it ashoke in Yoruba land. In the women aspect, we have gele, boba, iro and ikwalero, this type of tool put on their shoulder. In a man own, there's a traditional cap called itiaja, that is the cap. While women own, they tie their wrapper from left to right.
The music and dance of the Yorubas sometimes captures the interest of people within and outside their communities. One of their outstanding cultural gifts is their rich music, as well as their different forms of dance and art. Temitope Bakari, a Yoruba indigene, tells us more on how the Yoruba dance and music helps to create a harmonious bond between the Yoruba and other ethnic groups in any given community.
Wherever a Yoruba man is doing an occasion, whether it's weddings, burial, whatever ceremony they are doing, you will hear the beat of this drum. It's a talking drum. It talks. They beat it that it speaks out language. The drum will, in fact, praise you. And once you hear this, there's no how. You will be forced to dance. You will dance. You will react to the beating of that drum. You will be forced to shake up and down. You will, in fact, be excited to dance, to exhibit the skill of dancing in you.
Delta State is located in the southern geopolitical zone of Nigeria. There are people of various languages and ethnic groups within the state. Economically, Delta State is known for the production of crude oil and natural gas and is one of the main oil-producing states in the country. The major ethnic groups in the state are Anyoma, Urobo, Isoko, Ijo, and Ishekiri. The indigenous Igbo people of Delta State belong to the Anyoma ethnic group. The group comprises Asaba, Aniocha, Ika, Ukwani, and Ndwe Sibili regions. They make up about one-third of the state. Coexisting peacefully with the Anyoma ethnic group in Delta State are the Yorubas.
These loving people, we are hospitable. Even other people come from other states to reside here to do business. So long as you do your business, the reason why you came here, you do it peacefully. We don't have any problem with anybody.
As explained by Chimizeuba, an Aniocha indigene, His people are very hospitable, receptive and peace-loving. They treat everybody the same without discrimination, and this has enabled them to live peacefully with members of other tribes. It is apparent that as different ethnic groups coexist, there are bound to be elements of shared cultural practices which help create a stronger relationship between the diverse groups. For Evangel Madubuchi, the Yorubas living with them in Delta State have given her the opportunity to appreciate their culture and way of life.
An average Delta Igbo person are very peaceful. At least we've been living together for long. We don't have any problem because more or less their culture is almost the same thing with the Yorubas. So eat together. They invite you. You attend their own and you invite them, they will attend your own. And once, as far as you are a honest person, you are truthful with your business, you don't cheat, you won't have any problem with them, there won't be any clash.
For us to live peacefully with one another, we have to examine ourselves. Glorious Ezekiel expresses the fact that peace in Nigeria should be sustained and strengthened, for it is when we continue to live together in peace and harmony, learn to forgive, tolerate and respect one another, then we can make a country a better place. She attributes the peaceful living conditions between the two tribes to understanding and cooperation.
We have to be open-minded to be able to accept someone, respect the person, and tolerate them. So I want everyone out there to try and be open-minded. Just give it a try. It's not going to be harmful. You just have to, you know, I'm not saying you should completely neglect your culture. Just try and coexist with someone peacefully. Try and tolerate, because right now I won't say I'm even tolerating her. I'm understanding her. So understanding and open-mindedness is what we need.
Worried about the day-to-day happenings in the country, especially on how youths are being used to carry out some unacceptable activities, Georgina Ogbu says she wishes and prays for a peaceful Nigeria and pleads with all citizens to embrace peace for a better, progressive and successful society.
These people that use them, they've had their lives. See, where are their children? That is the first thing you should think of. If they are coming to use you as a tool, where is their own child? They had a better Nigerian than us. And us, with our life is just starting. And think about our future, our kids. We have junior ones at home. But what do we want them to come and see? To always accept our national identity. This notion of I'm Igbo first, I'm Hausa first, is very flawed. Because in the eyes of the world, if CNN is reporting about somebody CNN will say a Nigerian. You will not say somebody from Anambra. You will not say somebody from Enugu or Katsina.
Nigeria is a symbol of a very diverse entity with over 500 ethnic and cultural groups that settle in different parts of the country. This has made her people, tribes and ethnic groups, to live as one, in the sense that the differences inherent in so many groups contributes to the political, cultural, as well as social and religious strength of the country. Many Nigerians recognize this fact and hold on to a prosperous culture for our blessed country. This means that as faith has brought us together as one entity, we will overcome all odds that intend to bring disunity among us as a nation in one community. We must therefore live in peace with one another.
Tomorrow,
all African leaders,
let's walk for better tomorrow.
We have come to the end of this edition of Bonds of Harmony, a program on the factors that enhance peaceful coexistence amongst different ethnic groups in Nigeria. Focus today was on the Yoruba people of southwest Nigeria living among the Igbos in Delta State, southern Nigeria. Join us again next week, same time and same frequency, for another edition of the program. Please send your comments or observations to the producer, Bonds of Harmony, PMB 40003, Falamo Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria. Listen to us by downloading the Voice of Nigeria mobile app. Our live stream is also available on www.von.gov.ng. Production was by Mercy Odu. Sunday Edition was at the audio console, and I am Okatahi Ojia. Thanks for listening.